Honor, better, faster, stronger.
Obanai in the shotgun with Wheaton, takes the snap, rolls near side right, throws, it's caught! Touchdown, Greg Little, and the Browns lead!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here's Wheaton, play action fake, looking, throwing, wide open, touchdown, it's Obanai!
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
Nathan Zagura, the notorious VIC, Vic Carucci, Cleveland Browns Daily with you here on a big Tuesday. It's a big week here for the Cleveland Browns. They take on the Cincinnati Bengals, trying to get even with them in the loss column, get the tiebreaker over them for the season, and end up just being one half game out of first place against their division rival. Big game, that is this Sunday in Cincinnati. Also have a big show for you. Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal will be with us at 1:30. We'll go inside the locker room with Chris Obanaya at 1:55. After further review, the Tuesday sensation that's sweeping the nation. That's at 2:15 p.m. Eastern. Of course, our daily hit with Gerard Cherry later on in the second hour. And Notorious, the snow is on the ground. The Browns are playing the biggest game they have in years. My mom is moving to Cleveland tonight. It's a big week.
Nice. And that's outstanding for you to have mom moving here with you. I know she's out west.
San Francisco. The snow's going to welcome her right in.
I was just going to say, I hope she's good with the snow. But, you know, you bring up the snow, and I think it sets the right mood for this kind of a week, because this is a playoff game. These are playoff games that the Browns have ahead of them, but obviously they have to win the one.
That's right.
Win the one.
Sure.
And it starts Sunday, and if you're able to do that, playing the biggest game that this team has played since 2007, and you're looking at it as the type of thing that feels like the postseason, and this is what this weather feels like. And I think the atmosphere around here has changed in the building. You can sense, it's palpable, Nathan, that people feel that this is larger than your typical Sunday game. Even though it's a divisional opponent, it's even bigger than that.
It is, because it is just that big. This is an opportunity for this team to put itself in a position where it literally can control its own destiny. A win over the Cincinnati Bengals team gives the Browns the opportunity to control their own destiny. From that point on, they handle their business. They have a great opportunity to win the AFC North and go to the playoffs. So this is a massive game. You have the momentum coming off of beating the Baltimore Ravens. 2 weeks to prepare for this game. A Cincinnati Bengals team that has lost two games in pretty epic fashion in a row, including a big loss to the Baltimore Ravens when they got a Hail Mary to put them into overtime, where you felt that, oh no, this is not really going to happen, is it? And they still lost that game. And we talked about Andy Dalton. In his last few games, of his last 99 passes that Andy Dalton's thrown, he's completed 52 of them for 576 yards, 2 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and he's had a 7th turnover on a lost fumble. So in his last 100 passes, he's averaging less than 6 yards an attempt, completing about 52% of his passes, and struggling. 2 touchdowns, 7 turnovers. This is a ripe. It is ripe for the taking for this Browns team, and I think that's why people are so excited right now.
Yeah, because it feels real. And I think that's the part about the Browns that you haven't really been able to connect with for a long time. If you follow this team, people know this, that you sense that you want them to aspire to be a team that does these things, plays relevant games, is competitive with its division, has the ability to not only win games but close out games. And I think that was the other thing that happened against Baltimore that resonated with fans. Not only did they see a quarterback play competently and get them over the top because he's competent, but because of Jason Campbell's play, because of the way the defense also performed, they were able to close out what was turning into yet another nail biter. Typical of a Browns game is one that you're never really comfortable with until that clock hits all zeros. And I know that's the nature of the NFL in a lot of ways, but for this team especially, I think people have seen them too often get into these games, show that they can possibly win it, but you don't want to give up your whole heart to that because they're going to let you down at the end. Well, that didn't happen against Baltimore, and I think that in itself was part of the turning point that a lot of people have connected with, even though, again, one win of the last four, but it was how they won, it was
right.
who they beat,
right.
And I think that the idea that they're so much closer, if not even better in some ways, than who they have to beat to be in the postseason, that leaves a lot of room for not just hope, Nathan, but I think a reality that this can happen.
No doubt. And you know, it comes down to how the Browns took care of business against the Ravens. And this is the interesting thing. The season could be in two completely different places right now based on two plays. Both of them were fourth down and ones, both of them around the 40-yard line of the Baltimore Ravens. One, the Browns convert. They go on to win the game. The other, the Bengals do not convert in overtime. They go on to lose the game. Two small plays, microcosms, hopefully, of the season. We'll look back and say those two plays turned out to be massive in the paths of these two teams. And this is a Browns team that has a chance to win the AFC North. They're also very much in the wild card hunt. They're going to have a lot of big games over the last seven, and that's what's so exciting to me. The fact that you know you look at the calendar right now and you say, you know what? This game is massive. Take care of business at home against the Jags and the Steelers, two very, very beatable teams. And you're going to have big games with the Chicago Bears at home, a big game against the New England Patriots, and what's going to likely be on December 22nd, a massive game against the Jets in New York that could have big-time wild card implications if that's the direction that things are headed. So there's a lot to be excited about, but you're right. It starts Sunday. Win the one. Go into Cincinnati. Make a statement that everybody in the AFC North, the AFC, the NFL will hear loud and clear, because this Browns team has a chance to do just that.
Yeah, a game like this can be a sea change for how this Browns team is perceived, and there's already some traction in that department. The rest of the country, the rest of the NFL, is clearly paying attention to what is going on here in Cleveland. And you need to, of course, to keep that going, you need to do exactly what you just said as far as win this game Sunday, because it won't just be that they beat a Bengals team that's struggling, that would lose three in a row if this were the case and the Browns win that game. It will be perceived much more as the Browns climbing. It'll be perceived much more as the Browns moving to that place of stature that, okay, you've got a team that can be reckoned with. And what gives this team credibility? Number one, it's defense. And I think the story of the Carolina Panthers is actually dovetailing with what the Browns are doing. I think people are seeing in the NFC, which is in its own right pretty wide open. Yeah, you can make some strong arguments for the New Orleans Saints. I know Carly McCord, who's here from Louisiana and a big Saints fan, is cheering about that and happy about that. And she was down there during bye weekend, so she just got some Louisiana love and now is back up here with her family. Now she's back up here with us again. And as far as we look at the and by the way, we got to say this.
Yeah, we got to thank her. Yes.
She came bearing gifts. So she brought us from Café du Mont, which is
the most famous cafe down in New Orleans.
You know, at Old Jackson Square, if you've ever been down there, it is a fantastic place to hang out for. The deal is beignet and coffee. You've got a box of beignet mix.
Yeah, and you got some coffee.
Tell people what beignets are all about.
It's like, it's a delicious, it's almost like a square donut. Powdered sugar sprinkled over the top. They're unbelievable. And I actually had my first beignet ever last year at the Super Bowl, because with CBS, I was down there with CBS doing a Super Bowl show for Ion Football, and our green room area was set up literally on Jackson Square right by Café du Mont. So Carly, who's holding things down on the Twitter front, @Browns_daily throughout the show. She does the great write-up after the shows as well, which you can get at clevelandbrowns.com, the Browns Daily Recap. And now she's bringing beignets and coffee from the famous Café du Mont. Carly, we appreciate the love. Thank you so much.
You are very, very welcome.
It's going to be a sweet week. That's what I'm saying. This is the sign. We got Carly bringing in beignets. My mom flying across the country to move to Cleveland. By the way, I told her, I said, if the Browns don't take care of business on Sunday, you might be sent back.
Send her back home.
So let's talk about this, Carly, for one second. As far as the beignet and coffee deal, now you being a local there, a native there. Is it still is it just for the tourists like Nathan and I when we're down there, or do the locals partake in beignet and coffee as well?
We absolutely partake in beignets and coffee. We drink chicory coffee every morning with breakfast. That's the difference in New Orleans coffee and here. And that's one thing I told my parents when I moved here. I said, I'm becoming even a bigger coffee addict here, but I have to admit, the coffee in Ohio is weak. It is weak.
This is strong stuff. And explain what chicory is.
It's kind of like an herb plant, and it's just it gives it a little bit of like a wood flavor.
Okay.
And it adds a little bit of strength to your coffee. So there's nothing like a good glass of chicory coffee in New Orleans. And Cafe Du Mal is not the only beignet cafe in Louisiana. There's many. So we partake.
That's the most famous.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. The most famous and the best one.
These are the brands. So I've got a can of the chicory coffee that I'm gonna have my wife take care of this, brew this, but it's going to get brewed and happen. And you've got a box of beignet mix, nice cards from Carla. She you're just awesome.
That's awesome.
You all are awesome. Y'all are awesome.
Right. Well, let me ask you this though: how is it now that you're back? You leave New Orleans and you come back to this snow.
I'm not going to lie. I called my dad last night crying because I couldn't see the road. So I was like, how am I supposed to see this lane? My dad was like, just hug the shoulder, Carly, hug the shoulder.
You gotta be careful out here in the snow, right?
You've dealt with snowmobile before.
Only in Denver, Colorado when I've gone to visit, never in Louisiana. No.
That's what I meant. So this isn't your first experience with it, though?
No, sir, not. But this is my first experience driving in it.
Ooh, all right. Well, that is serious business, and you got to take
careful.
Watch out for the other guy as much as yourself. You'll be cautious, but, you know, that's the advice I would give my kids. All right.
Well, thank you.
All right, that is Carly McCord, and again, she's helping us out here. She'll be tweeting throughout the show. She'll be putting together the Browns Daily Wrap, which you can find on our website, clevelandbrowns.com, after the show. So, anyway, it's a festive week. We've got all these gifts here from Carly. We've got a lot of good stuff to look forward to. But to the point of watching last night's game, and it was again nice when during the broadcast they put down that listing of teams that are looking, you know, obviously locking up divisions or real close to it, and that third column in the hunt. And the Browns are right there and on that list 2 weeks in a row. And I love it. I mean, just when you can see that much, and it's not in the hunt barely hanging by a thread. It's in the hunt, and they're listed before the Baltimore Ravens.
And this was a good loss. The Miami Dolphins losing this game was
helpful. Yes, certainly helpful.
So that was a good one. Browns fans have had a couple close ones here, the Ravens and the Bengals, Dolphins, Buccaneers, but they've both gone the right way, which is very, very good.
Yeah, I know. And you want to, again, I want to catch
gotta
myself.
Got to take care of their own business. They don't get a little perspective, Notorious.
I got to throw some perspective out there. The perspective is a long way to go, a lot of stuff to work on. I do hope we see the results. And I'm of the belief that they addressed the right things during the bye as much as they could do internally. Now, the question is there more room to do some things, or is there anything that can be done with a roster to enhance the obvious weakness of the running game? I'm not so sure. I know that they're obviously going to look at some players, but I don't see a difference-making guy that's going to just change the game here. What I do see and what I hope will happen is that what this team does best is scheme its way to success.
Correct.
And it schemes its way to success on both sides of the ball, never more so than on defense, which they totally manufacture pass rushes from scheme versus any real dominant edge rushers. And that's okay. And it's worked to the tune of 31 sacks, so we're good with that. But as far as helping the running game, what can they do to make the running game better? That, too, involves some scheming. It involves guys playing better, stepping up, and so forth. But it also is, I think, how they utilize the run game in relation to the passing game, in relation to the ratio, and can North Turner and Rob Chudzinski, you know, find a blend, Nathan, that allows this team to be a little more effective because of what the defense has to worry about, given formation, given movement, given that pre-snap movement, given all that stuff.
Of course they can, because they've been effective without this running game. It hasn't been here at any point this season.
No.
So you're just looking for a little bit of spark, whether it's more Obanaya, whether it's more Fozzie Whitaker. By the way, tip of the cap to Bobby Rainey, came in last night, looked pretty good for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in that game against the Miami Dolphins. So you're hoping that, you know, Fozzie Whitaker can give you the spark that maybe a Bobby Rainey just gave the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Monday. You're hoping that Obanaya can do that. All they have to do in the running game, as I see it, is run a few times on first down, get themselves into some seconds and short, be able to convert a third and one, a fourth and one, a second and one if they decide to run it there. That's what they need to do, and be able to take the clock out at the end of the game if they have a lead. That's what this team needs from the running game. The rest is going to come from the strength of the defense, the ability to hit a few big plays to Josh Gordon, to Jordan Cameron, of course to Greg Little, etc. So in my opinion, the running game is a complement to what this Browns team wants to do, but it must be able to deliver at the critical moments, to milk the clock at the end of a fourth quarter, to pick up the critical first downs. Again, you go back to that Ravens game and the Bengals. The Ravens picked off Andy Dalton for the third time with less than 2 minutes to go and could not pick up one first down to run out the clock. That's why Andy Dalton was able to throw a Hail Mary and get that game into overtime. That's where the running game needs to show up. Some trickeration, that's fine with me. Get it out there. But at the end of the day, just the running game needs to give you a little something and come through at the times when you need it to. This does not have to be a team that turns around and hands it off 25 times and picks up 4.5 to 5 yards a carry. That's not going to happen.
You know, and you brought up the usage of personnel. Fozzie Whitaker, Chris Obanaya, I do think that more carries are in store for those guys. Yes, this team has in Willis McGahee, the veteran, the presence that's he's good for that running back group. I think he can maybe get you some tough yards every now and then, but I'm not comfortable with putting the running game on his shoulders. It's
right.
Not something he's really equipped at this stage of his life to handle. At 32 years old and in the league as long as he's been with 11 seasons, that's an old running back. And unfortunately, it's not an old man, but it's an old running back. And I think realistically, you've got to find in other people the ways to devise how to make this running game better. And I've heard some people say, well, do they have to go out and bring a fullback in here? Does the fullback make that kind of difference? My answer to that is no. It doesn't really fit what this scheme is about either.
Exactly. You want a fullback when you're a team that's going to line up, go from the I formation, and run power football.
Yeah.
The Browns are not going to do that, and that is not going to happen.
And I don't want them to do that.
I don't want
it. Yeah.
No, we do not want them to do that. So, no, that is not the solution. The solution is by creating an effective passing game to help open up the running game, find some lanes, and hopefully get guys in Chris Obanaya and Fozzie Whitaker, who have a little more, you know, giddy up than Willis McGahee right now, hope that they can get into space and make some good plays. That's what it comes down to. This is not the Carolina Panthers. This is not the Seattle Seahawks. They're not going to turn around, hand the ball off 30 times a game, and try to win by running the football. This is a passing team, and Jason Campbell's done it very effectively. 5 touchdowns, no interceptions over the last 2 games. That's what's going to win for this Cleveland Browns team. That and great defense. A defense that leads the league in yards per play allowed. A defense that is fourth in total defense, 315.7. A defense that is sixth in passing at 217 yards. And a defense that's seventh against the run at 98 yards. This is a defensive-oriented team. The offense needs to do its part. And the defense needs to get off the field on third down. They do that. They can hang with and beat anybody in this league.
And that is the big if. Can they get off the field on third down? That's been something that I know Ray Horton's talked about. We've heard players talk about it. Now you got to demonstrate it and show it. And I'll tell you what, there will be no greater test, frankly, than the one they're going to face Sunday in that area. I mean, there are other such tests coming their way, but this is about as big as any from the standpoint of what the Bengals are capable of doing if Andy Dalton is on with guys like A.J. A.J. Green and,
sure.
and company in that receiving core with what they could do with Giovanni Bernard and the running game. I mean, they are Tyler Eifert. They can make those third down conversions. They're more than capable of doing that. So the Browns got to show that they can prevent that. 216-578-0850. 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you. Also tweet at us at Browns_daily.
We will be back with more of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Still to come here in this first hour, Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal stops by in about 10 minutes, and we go inside the locker room with Chris Obanaya. So lots to get to. We want to interact with you as well. Hit us up, 216-578-0850, or tweet us at Browns_daily. NZVC CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.